Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire broadcast is being recorded and aired for August the 10th, 2024. And I've got something I think is, maybe interesting to some of you. This question that I'm offering to you today comes from Kara. Kara lives in Los Angeles, and she's been a long, long time listener. And she often will get kind of, interested here and there in the things I'm offering, like the Tao with Lhasa's beautiful teachings. And she wrote a beautiful email about it. I mean, it was really, really pretty. And she wanted to know this. Here's what she said. Could you please explain goodness as you speak of it in the Tao? So I'll do the best I can. The Tao is about life. It's about the bigger picture. It's about the source of life, where it comes from, the whole kit and caboodle. But what Lhasa is talking about is the primal good, the primal goodness. And what does he mean by that? Well, in the discourses I explained, but I understand why Kara might want some explanation here, so I'm going to try to give it. Deep within us all is this primal goodness. This primal goodness is an evolutionary development within us. It is the essential, the fundamental part of us that we deny, that we often forget. That we just don't have any deep respect for. We want people to respect us, but we don't really understand this goodness thing. It's the primal, the essential goodness. It is a goodness that transcends beliefs and theories and all sorts of ideas and hostilities that individuals will throw at you. It's a part of the deeper picture of life. It is to see the goodness in all, even though they don't see the goodness maybe in themselves, or we don't see the goodness in ourselves. This goodness exceeds our logic and reasoning, our moral values and beliefs. This is what makes the Tao and Lhasa's teachings so very beautiful, because he offers us insight that is beyond the common man's thought processes. He is not a pedestrian kind of thinker. He does not think. He just reveals and reveals and reveals and reveals. So what is this goodness? And she goes on in her email and says, tell us what comprises goodness. If you can understand what I'm about to say to you, if you are willing of it, it will change everything about your life. And I mean everything. This goodness has no moral premise. You don't do good to get a reward. Most of us do good things to get some kind of accolade, some kind of reward, something that we believe we need in our life that would go beyond the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, make us look really, really important. This goodness is something you just live in. You don't talk about it. You don't urge other people to do it. You just simply live in this goodness. It would be like replacing hate and fear in us. We all know that no matter how pleasant a person we may seem to be, we are always at the mercilessness of hate and fear. We can be driven to hate and fear very quickly, within a moment's notice. Anything that threatens us or doesn't go our way, we go towards the hatred or the anger or the hostility. And a lot of people can't admit this. They just can't. They want to think of themselves as these perfect people that never get angry, but they get angry. Believe me, they do. I work in the world with people, and they do. The goodness is that part that would replace being on the verge of hatred all the time, being on the verge of anger and hostility all the time. That's what it would be. And to replace this, there has to be one element, Kara. There has to be one element, and that element is mercy. If I do not have a merciful sense of love in me, if I am unable to forgive, if I am unable to understand beyond the pecking order of Gregory Penn's mind, your mind, if we're not willing to achieve this goodness through mercy, then our lives become very, very difficult and, in fact, ugly. And that's what most of us do. We just don't really understand the nature of what it means to be merciful. We like the idea of moral rightness, but we don't want to be merciful to those who we think are our enemy or have become our enemy or who have done something, difficult, ugly, vindictive, whatever. We want revenge from those people, and we create a hellstorm within us by doing so. Jealousy and pride get involved. So when we are truly working upon ourselves, Kara, we are working to love. We are working towards forgiveness, compassion. We're not looking for right over wrong, good over bad. This goodness then starts to exceed the moral precepts, let's say, of Gregory Edward Penn here. And he starts to take a back seat to goodness. You can't change the human. I can't change Gregory. And you can't change Kara. You can't. They just are what they are because they've lived so long as they are, because they live by their bodies. They live by their genetics, their DNA. And because of this, it makes it very difficult for them to do anything miraculous. So when you are willing to, so to speak, turn your back on her, when you are willing to no longer allow her to run your life, to impulse you, when you feel the impulse to do something that is vindictive or hostile or hateful or whatever, you listen to that still small voice within you. That still small voice that emulates kindness and love, that is illogical. So illogical that most people wouldn't venture to be a part of it at all. They wouldn't want to do it at all. You listen to that still, beautiful, small voice. That is your goodness. And when you listen to it and you hear it tells you to do the opposite of what you want to do impulsively, well, then you have a great decision to make. And this decision is, do I go forward in love or do I just go back and resign myself to my hatred, my self-righteous hatred? Now, that's up to you. No one can change that about you. No one can make that any different. You have to decide how far you want to go with the state of love that lives within you. And when you do, decide, that will set the tone and texture of your karma, your lot in life, as I call it. And if you do this, much beauty, Kara, will happen for you. Much. You'll have a great insight, and you will see you can turn the water into wine, as it were, metaphorically. I hope that helps, Karen, and thank you for your beautiful email. It was very, very lovely to hear from you. We'll be back on the air tomorrow, and if any of you have a question, you can get me at greg@aspire.org. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.